The reading of Shir Hasayam has a lot of different minhagim and technical halachas to it, and also some fascinating aspects of diktuk. I know diktuk usually puts people to sleep, but in this case, Shir Hasayam has very important aspects of diktuk and how we read it, which we'll get to at the end. But first, let's discuss the most famous part of Shir Hasayam, which is the tune, which is the special tune. So the earliest source for having a special tune that I know of is in the Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri is the Talmud of Rashi, and this is on the piyutim that they would say on Shri Shal Pesach. So on Shri Shal Pesach, they would read it with this very elaborate Aramaic translation. And when they would get to the piece of the, they would read all of Parshas Peshalach in that way, and they would get to the piece of Shir Hasayam specifically. So this is what the Machzor Vitri says. He says, "Minayim eskolo b'ne'ima uv'negina azil Moshe." And they would be, the people in the congregation should raise up their voices sweetly with a tune when they sing the Targum of Azil Moshe. Now, the assumption is that obviously if they're singing for the Targum, they'll also do it for the Psukim themselves. And he goes through all the entire thing here, and he says that this is a Targum based on the Targum Yerushalmi, v'tshuva isi la'omer al v'yosha, l'sefer Hashira. So the Machzor Vitri is already hinting almost 1,000 years ago that there was such a custom to have a special tune when it came to the Shira itself. And the this appear, if you want to look in the old editions of the Machzor Vitri, it appears on page 306. This is in the new edition of the Machzor Vitri. And in addition, the Yosef Ometz, which is the great collection of Ashkenazim and Hagim, so in Simon Reish Pei Aleph, he writes that there was a minog as well to sing Shir Hasayam, Vayoshi Yesh Lenagein, and then he writes something fascinating, that there was a minog to sing Vayosha of the Shir Hasayam, V'kasu B'sefer Charedim, V'eser Segulos Shekasav Aleihem, Shemechaprim Kol Menosa Shal Adam B'li Siguf V'inoi. There are 10 things a person can do to get kapara that you don't have to undergo any difficulties or any pain through that form of kapara. She'echas man he, mishakora vayosha, whoever reads the parsha vayosha of Shir Hasayam, besimcha uvenigun, with joy and with a tune. Kamo shamruhu Yisrael besimcha yaseir b'shash Kriyas Yamsuf, just like the Jewish people saying it with a tune at Kriyas Yamsuf. So there is certainly something, it's not just, there's something behind it. It's not just about having a nice tune because it's Shir Hasayam, but there's some deeper message, apparently, says the Yosef Ometz, in singing it with having a special tune that is associated to the reading itself, just like Bnei Yisrael did at Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay? There's a very important book of Ashkenazi Minhag called the Seder Koheles. And the Seder Koheles records all different types of rules for laning and what they did lane and how they laned and things like that. So we don't have the Seder Koheles here, but he records at the Minhag of Frankfurt, and he says on page 411 that the psukim of Hashem Yilachem Lachem and Vayomer Mitzrayim and Kol HaMachla and Vayomer Kiyala Keiska, which is at the end of the parsha, they all are read louder. They're emphasized by the Baal Koreh. So these very four important psukim, says the Seder Koheles, should be emphasized. So again, already by Minhag Ashkenaz, for over hundreds of years, there was this idea of having a special tune as well. Now, we need to understand the next thing that that people sing differently is a Rashi in Sukkah, Mem Hei Amud Aleph. And there the Mishnah in Sukkah is discussing Hoshanas, and the idea that they would say, Aniva Ho Hoshiana, this unique name of Hashem, that when they would go around singing Hoshanas. So Rashi, this is famously one of the sources that people use to note that Rashi knew Kabbalah, that Rashi learned Kabbalah, because this is one of the very few places where Rashi brings a Kabbalistic idea. And it's somewhat okay to understand it. It's not very, I'm saying, clearly Kabbalah, but the surface level, we can understand what Rashi is saying. So this is on Mem Hei Amud Aleph, and Rashi explains, what does the name Ani Vaho mean when it comes to the name of Hashem? He says, Begamatria Ana Hashem. That is the Gematria of Ana Hashem. Va'od, in addition, Mishivim Mishneim Shemos Hanekuvim B'sholosh Mikros Hasmuchim B'parshas Vahid B'shalach Vayisa. Now, he explains that there's three psukim that have 72 letters, which make up the 72-letter name of Hashem. And that is in Perek Yedal Yutestu Chafalef, the psukim of Vayisa Malach Elohim, Vayavo Ben Amachana Mitzrayim, and Vayim Moshe Yado. Those three psukim have 72 letters. And then he says as follows. Vayisa, Vayava, Minamachna, Vayit Moshe, Seado. Vishaloshtan, Bnei Shivim, Mishtaim, Osios. Each of those three psukim have 72 letters in them, as I laid out in front of you below. Umehem, Shem HaMeforash. And that contains the Shem HaMeforash. Oh, how do you get to that? He says, look, the Os Rishona shall Pasuk Rishon. You take the first Pasuk of the first letter of the first Pasuk, Vachrona shall Amsai, and you take the last letter of the middle Pasuk, of the Pasuk of Yavo Ben Amachana, and then you take the Rishona shall Achron, and then you go back to the first letter of the last Pasuk. So if you look over here, the first letter of the first Pasuk is a Vav, the last letter of the second Pasuk is a Hey, and then the first letter of the first Pasuk is a Vav. So Vav, Hey, Vav. And that would make the first three-letter Shem of Hashem, says Rashi. And then he says, you follow that order. V'chein b'zeha seder kula. And you go, then you go two of the first Pasuk, then you go 71 of the middle Pasuk, then you go back to two of the first Pasuk. And you keep on doing that until you make all these three-letter combinations, and then he explains that if you go to the middle one is Ani, and I just made a chart here just explaining, I didn't make it, you can find it on the internet, there's a chart here explaining how all that breaks down and how all the three-letter names would come up. So what's the point here? That Rashi says that these three Pesukim that we were going to read this coming Shabbos have the 72-letter name of Hashem, and reference the important name of Hashem, Vani V'ho, Hoshiana. Now, so based on this, the Rav Menachem ben Yosef Chazan, who was the rabbi in Troyes in 14th century France, he's the grandson of the Sefer HaTruma, the Rishon, so he writes in his Seder Tarvayish. Tarvayish is just the Hebrew spelling Troyes, of France, that's how you would spell that in Hebrew. So he writes in Perek Yadir Maschel Pesach, regarding a reading on Shri Yishol Pesach, Vayisa v'yavo v'yet, those three psukim, kol ken kasav zeh mizeh, ki shem hamaforash yoshim mishloshtan. It has the shem hamaforash coming out of those three psukim. Varisi kornosol l'chvodem v'kol ram b'nigun b'orech kamo hadibros. That it has a special tune that's associated with those three psukim because it's hinting to and highlighting the Shem HaMeforash. So we have additional psukim that should be highlighted, at least that we have a minog, to sing them because they are special. And Rav Yaakov Emden in his Siddur says the same thing, the name of his father, Chacham Tzvi, and he adds beautifully as follows regarding this whole area. This is at the end of the Siddur of Yaakov Emden. He has Ha'aros that he added at the printing. This is on the second page. He writes as follows, Ein laharim kol b'milo she'esh rosh ha'tevo savayah. In general, we don't raise our voice when we get to a series of words that spell out the Rosh Tevas of Hashem's name. If you came across a series of words that spelled out the Rosh Tevas, Yud Hei Vav Hei, the Chazan should not raise his voice to highlight those words as being Shem Hashem. Okay? As he says, some Chazanei Ashkenaz do. He thinks because they have such great bekiyas, they know everything. So he says, we don't do that. Ki kol ha-Torah shmos v'shalakadosh baruch hu. The whole Torah is Hashem's name. So what are you doing highlighting that part of Hashem's name? V'ha-kol kedusha echas peshava. And every word of the Torah is equally holy. V'lechein afilu b'kriyas Hashem atzmo ein marim kolo. When you read the Hashem's, when you get to Shem Hashem in the Torah, do you raise your voice and sing it with a special tune? No. Every part of the Torah is Shem Hashem. Because no part is any holier. But Yosemite Bishar, Kriya Kalbachom Lakum Sharom is Hashem, even more so, but just hinted by Hashem, Barosh Tevos. Rakub Sukiya Dibros the Fishinasum called Gadol. Now, he says, when it comes to the Psukim of Asersa Dibros, we do raise our voice, we sing it in a special way, because Hashem delivered the Dibros, the Kol Gadol, with a very loud voice. Yesh Laharim Kol Lahayir Lev Hashomim, to arouse the hearts of the listeners when it comes to the Asersa Dibros. As if they're rejoicing at Har Sinai, can see not someone the Torah is being given. Gam b'psuke va'yisavayel va'yet, the three psukim we read before. Shamati, I heard in the name of my father. Shahaya magbia kolo b'karo, some that he would raise his voice when he read those three psukim. Gam b'shiras shetzarcha mekol meshubach u'bezimra lo zulas. And these entire, the shiros of the Torah, shiros hayam, says Rav Yaakov Emden, you should have a special nigin, a special shira, a special performance that comes along with the shir because it is a special song. So already we're seeing the formulation of these minhagim to treat certain aspects of this shira itself, and perhaps the whole shira in a way where the nigun is highlighted. We just need to look at the other side of the minhag as well. The minhag of Yemenites, the minhag of Teman, is not, they do the opposite actually. They lower their voice when they sing those three psukim that contain the Shema Meforash. And in the Medrash HaBiur of Besadya ben David Adani, who's one of the Yemenite Gedolim, so he says, based on the Yerushalmi Yoma, the Yerushalmi Yoma says that it used to be when they said the Shema Meforash and the Beis HaMikdash Vayom Kippur, they would say it loudly. But when people started to abuse the name, the Kohen said it softly. So therefore, he says, the minhag in Teman is to say those psukim softly because it's the Shema Meforash, and we shouldn't be highlighting it. We should actually be saying it quieter so people don't come to abuse it. And in light of that, Yerushalmi Masech HaSuma in the third parak. Now, next, before the Shira, so there's a minhag, as we know, to read the pasuk of V'hamayim lehem choma miminam umismalam. Right, we know that that's everybody's favorite part, to sing that part with the tune. So we have to be careful, first of all, that that's not the first time, it's not on the first time it appears. That's parak yadal chavtes. You should not have this special tune sung on the earlier one in Yidal Chaf Beis. That's too far away from the Shira. It needs to be the one that's closest to the Shira. The earlier one, we don't change the tune. The latter one, we do. And then, in addition, as we know, in Tesvav Chaf Aleph, after the Shira, so many people will give the special tune for Shiru LaShem Ki Gaga'ah, Sus V'Achorah Mavayam. So we have that's before the Shira, and that's after the Shira, all the different minhagim when it comes to changing up the tune. The Avudraham in his Seder HaParshios, the Avudraham, the famous Rishon, who teaches us about a lot of halacha and minhag of davening. So he cites Rav Sajagon, who said that there are 10 psukim in the Torah where the tzibur should sing along before the chazan, like we do on a fast day, right? There are psukim that we highlight before the chazan says them. So the Avudraham says that pretty much all of the psukim fell aside, and all we do is for a fast day. We only kept them in by a fast day. But some of the psukim of Sajagon cites are the psukim of the Shira. So even in the days of Rav Sajagon, before the Machzor Vitri, we had this idea to highlight certain psukim with special tunes, and that the tzibur, in a way, also sings along with them. Now, let's discuss Lemaisa. There are pretty much two major minhagim when it comes to what is sung when it comes to the Shira. That is that the first is, Divrei Koheles, that you only sing the psukim with Shem Hashem. And it's not the entire pasuk of the Divrei Koheles. It's just, if there's an asnachta, if there's a pause in the pasuk, it's just the side of the asnachta that has Shem Hashem. But the other side of the pasuk, says the Divrei Koheles, you don't sing. You sing it with the regular trup. That's approach number one, which I think is what most people do, to sing the pasuk with Shem Hashem. And if there's no asnachta, says the Divrei Koheles, then everything gets the special tune. If it's a short pasuk, there's no asnachta, so everything should get the special tune. The other minhag is the minhag, I think, by Hasidim, which is that the entire Shira gets the tune. Rav Sriya Dablitsky, who's a Rav in Bnei Brak, so he writes that the minhag of the Prushim, the Ashkenazi Prushim, the Tamidim Hagra, who live in Eretz Yisrael, is to do the whole Shira with the special tune, and the minhag of the Hasidim. I think the minhag in Karlam Stalin is certainly to do everything with that special tune and ignore all the trup, just special tune. But I think the minhag in most places is to do just the psukim that have Shem Hashem. The some other minhagim as well, the Sefer Matamim Achadash on Pesach Sivkas and Lamed. So he cites the Shulchan Akriya, who says that any pasuk that has a repetitive aspect to it should get the special tune. So that means, he says, ki ga'a ga'a, as the pasuk says, that's a repetitive word, that should get a special tune, or Yimincha Hashem Neriba Koach, Yimincha Hashem Tiratzo Yev, because it repeats the idea of Yimincha Hashem. And therefore, any idea that's repetitive, he says, should get the special tune. Obviously, even those people who don't have the minhag will sing it because it has Shem Hashem. So that pasuk will get the special tune regardless. Okay, and those are the minhagim when it comes to the tune, the two most dominant minhagim that we discussed. Next, breaking up the Shira Sayama. We have, I think we have a bar mitzvah coming up to Shabbos, and other things going on. So you have a lot of people in shul, can you break up in the middle of the Shira? Are you allowed to break that into different aliyahs? So the Avudraham writes, again, the Seder HaParshios, that the Shira Sayam may not be broken up into smaller aliyahs. It is untouchable. You have to sing the entire thing. And his source is the Yerushalmi in Megillah in Paragimel Halacha Zayin. The Yerushalmi says that by the Shira Sayam, you make the bracha, you make a Birchas HaTorah beforehand and a Birchas HaTorah afterwards. So says the Avudraham, what's the implication? That it's one defined unit. That's untouchable. You need to make a simcha, and this person has a yurtzeit, and this person has a bar mitzvah, and things like that. Find someplace else. But Shira Sayam, says the Avudraham, is untouchable. And the Shari Ephraim, the famous book of Minag and Halacha that comes to Leining, Rav Ephraim Margolios, so he cites in Perek Zayin Chafei that this is the Minag, and it should not be broken up, and Shira Sayam is untouchable. However, the Shari Rachamim, which is a perish on the Shari Ephraim, cites a tshuva from Rav Yosef B'Meir Shneitach, the Rivam Shneitach. We'll discuss him in a second. And Orach Chaim Simen Chaf Vav, who says that if there's a lot of olim, then you're allowed to break up after Vayosha, before the Shira. That area is touchable, he says, if you must. Now, Rav Yosef Shneitach is a fascinating individual. He was a student of Nassim Adler, who's also the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, so he was a contemporary of the Chassam Sofer. And he was the rabbi in Friedenthal in Württemberg, Germany, for 40 years. I've based him for 40 years. It's a very long time. And his tshuvos are not, I'd say, widely learned. He has a couple important tshuvos about Shlita. He has a tshuva about Shira Sayam that a bunch of people quote. But outside of that, not so popular to learn. And when they published his tshuvos, so people, after he passed away, people began to realize that a number of his tshuvos were the exact same thing as the Tshuva Sadesha. That the tshuvos that, for example, tshuvos Lamed Tes Yud Ches Yud Aleph are straight out of Tshuva Sadesha and Aleph Dalet and Tes. The tshuvos are mamash the same exact thing as the Tshuva Sadesha. And people were very confused. So they went back to the children when they published, after who published their father's writings, and they said, and they looked through what they published, and they realized the following thing. Rav Shneitach, Rav Yosef Shneitach, only had a copy of Tshuva Sadesha that was missing tshuvos. He had an old version that was missing tshuvos. And what happened was, when he got a copy of someone else's Tshuva Sadesha, he wrote down his own copy so he would have it. And then he gave the person's book back, so he would have his own copy of the tshuvos and Tshuva Sadesha. And when his children were going through his library and collecting all of his handwritings and all of his Kitzvei Yad, they gathered up his handwritten copies of the Tshuva Sadesha, and it got shoved into his tshuvos. And that's why a number of tshuvos in the Rivam Shneitach are simply exactly the same thing as Tshuva Sadesha, because that's exactly what it was. It were hand copies of the Tshuva Sadesha. Okay, good. Next, standing for Shira Sayam. Standing for anything gets people very worried. Should I stand? People, I shouldn't stand. What's this go to do? It's going against the Minag. We're highlighting different parts of the Torah. This is more important. It's less important. So the Shulchan Akriya Simen Yabez says that the Minag is to stand for the Shira. And this is cited by the Ksosa Shulchan, Rav Chaim Na, right? We know about his measurements. So now we can learn some of his Torah as well. So the Ksosa Shulchan in Pei Dalet, in Osif Katan Chaf Beis, says that Shira Sayam is a form of Halal. And the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Tav Chaf Beis that we stand for Halal. So therefore he says it's logical to stand for Shira Sayam, because we are praising Hashem, and therefore that's why we should stand. The Seleucid Avram is a famous parish on the Siddur, and on page 168, he quotes the Zohar in Parshas Lech Lecha, who says that David was Zoche to be the king because he said Shira to Hashem while standing. And based on this, the Seleucid Avram says, certainly it makes sense to stand for Shira Sayam. Clearly the Zohar is telling us it's a good thing to stand. We might not understand why, but it certainly, David HaMelech becoming king is not a bad thing, so it can't hurt to stand when it comes to any shir that's being sung. In fact, the Rav Yosef Ephraim, Ephraim Gluenbat, Alva Shalom, writes in Gimel Kutzari Dalid that this is why people stand for Shiros Hayam, because the big idea to stand for Shiros in general. And he explains that standing in general connotes a sense of excitement, of hergesh, of feeling. And if we're trying to mimic the excitement of Kriyas Yamsuf, then certainly we should stand up with excitement, just like Bnei Yisrael would have stood right after the splitting of the sea. All explanations why we should stand. On the other hand, the Kaf HaChaim writes in Tav Tzadidal Tzivkat Lamed that people have the minute to not stand for Shiras Hayam. And the stipler, as is recorded in Orchos Rabbeinu Chelek Aleph, page 120, said that he would stand for the Seres HaDibros, but he did not stand for Shiras Hayam. No reason is given, but that was the minute of the stipler. However, we know that one of the main reasons that are raised against standing for certain parts of the Torah is because people think it highlights this part of the Torah as opposed to another part of the Torah. Who says this part is better, right? The famous unknown Medrash that's in the beginning of the Ein Yaakov, right? We don't really know where the Ein Yaakov got this from, but the Ein Yaakov writes in his introduction that all the parts of the Torah, what part of the Torah is most important, and Esakev Zachat Haseb Aboker, Esakev Zashin Haseb Rabayim, that we're consistent in the morning and the afternoon. But you know, all parts of the Torah are equal. No part is the Eithik or the Rambam, is that every part of the Torah is equal, and no part of the Torah is more important than the other. So, what do we make of this? So Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe Orachaim Dal Chaf Beis that there's no reason to stop the minhag to stand for certain parshios. He thinks it doesn't mean something's more important. It just means that people have a certain attachment to another part of the Torah. But it doesn't mean that one part is more important than the other. And Rav Sturmbach writes in Shuvas Vanagos, Chelek Dalid, Kuf Mem Dalid, that if you feel bad that you're highlighting one part or the other, so stand for the whole Aliyah. And it won't look like you're standing for something special. Get up at the beginning. Why? Okay, but at least I'm not standing for just the Seres HaDibros.
I've seen that you made a comment to me that this part that's really, in general, people sometimes do the whole way of any time, is still standing for certain parts of the Torah, not their parts of the Torah.
True, but this was his suggestion.
Why should Shir Siyam is less important? Because it's because the words are not those of God. I should have Moshe of Israel to Shir Siyam.
I can't say. You want to say it's like Sefer Dvarim?
Yeah, I'm speaking right now.
I don't know. It's clearly, I'm saying it was Nevuah. It was Moshe's Nevuah.
There's still not Mipi Gvurah.
Why is not Mipi Gvurah?
Nevuah, that's the Vayit Zavay Gershom.
No, but by definition, the Rambam says anything that Moshe says is Mipi Gvurah. That's by definition.
Well, Moshe Rabbeinu also did Zeres himself. I mean, it's not everything Moshe Rabbeinu says.
Anything he says from a Kaddish Baruch is a Kriyat Gvura. So Shir Sayam. But the assumption is that it's a Nevuah from a Kaddish Baruch. No? I don't know. That was just my understanding. Could be. I'm not sure. Okay. Next.
I see your assumption better than mine. But that was
I'm not sure. I don't know. So, just as a side point, we know there's an Indian to stand for Pesukah de Zimra, Shir Sayam as well. But that's not our discussion. Why do we stand for the Shir Sayam by Pesukah de Zimra? It's a whole discussion. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Nun Aleph, Yeruch HaShulchan there, and the Chayadim will explain why, but maybe it's a transfer from Pesukah de Zimra to Shir Sayam as well. I don't know. It's a bit of a push. Next. I'm not plugging myself, but the Knesset HaGadolah, the parish on the tour in Siman Tav Chaf Ches, says that the rabbi should be given the aliyah for Shiras Hayam. And he explains as follows that Shiras Hayam, which is a great shira and a great nevuah towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that only a Talmud who's a great Talmud Chacham and a great Yerush Shemayim will be able to appreciate the depths and all the nuances of Shiras Hayam, assuming that the rabbi of the community says is Yerush Shemayim and a great Talmud Chacham. I don't know. There's lots to discuss about that. But he says that's why it's given to the... So that's why it's good to give it to the rabbi. He says this is cited by the Magen Avraham in Tafel Cheskov. And the Radvaz also cited in the Piskei Tshuva in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah in Hilchos Torah in Yodea Reish Mem Beis. Sivkas and Aleph cites the Radvaz as well as saying to give Shir Sayam to the rabbi. Next, let's get to some issues of Diktuk that affect Shiras Hayam as well, which are, I think, pretty interesting. The first is, and it'll probably be helpful to have a chumash, but the first is as follows, that the Shira has a very important exception in Diktuk. We know, as we learn, everybody learns in school, we know as we learned in school that Beged Kefet Barosh Milah, that if you ever have the letters Beis Gimel Dalet, and then kefet chaf pei taf, or kaf pei taf. So then you have put a dagesh if it's the beginning of a word, right? Everybody knows that. However, there's an exception to the rule. If the last letter in the preceding word has letters aleph, hey, yud, and vav, so then there's no dagesh in that sound because it's an awkward to have those otio gro notes go straight into the dagesh. So that is the rule. But if we look for some reason shir sayam, there is a high propensity to violate that rule. Over and over and over again in shir sayam, that rule is violated again and again. Five times I counted. In Perek Tesvav Aleph, it says ki ga'a ga'a, and the second ga'a has a dagesh in the gimel. Now, we don't differentiate between gimels as Ashkenazim. The disciple writes in the Krina Digris of his letters that Ashkenazim just don't know how to do that, and we don't differentiate. But potentially, if we did, there would be a dagesh to be highlighted in the second ga'a, the gimel following a hey. And then again, in Tesvav Yud Aleph, it says, mi kamocha, right? Mi kamocha belim Hashem, mi kamocha nedar b'kodesh. The first one is correct, but the second one is mi kamocha. Why is there a dagesh there? In Tesvav Yud Gimel, am zu ga'alta. Ga'alta has a dagesh in the gimel. And in Tesvav Tazayin, it says, yidmu ka'aven. It shouldn't be yidmu ka'aven. It should be yidmu cha'aven. Why is there a dagesh in the kaf as well? In Tesvav Chaf Aleph, ki ga'a ga'a, once again. It's a very high concentration of violating rules of diktuk in one area.
If I have eight, only applies to the words in tech, that's like mi-cham-ocha versus mi-cham. You know, if we do mi-cham-ocha, because the word goes right into each other, but any break would be the thing, as opposed to mi-cham-ocha, it's a break. Have eight only works if it's like a continuous.
So that's going to be one possible explanation. There are multiple explanations that are going to be given. The Beis Yosef asked this question in Or Chaim Siman Nun Aleph, because that's where he discusses Shir Sayam and Psukei Dezimra. And he cites an explanation for the Or Chaim, the Hilchos Brachos Oslam Aveis. The Or Chaim wrote his Sefer because he had no Svarim, and he was very upset that he could never find anything he was looking for. So he made like a little compendium of all the halachas he thought you needed to know. So in Hilchos Mea Brachos, Oslam and Beis, he says that if mi chamocha didn't have a dagesh, it would sound like micha. And micha is the person who stole the Shem Hashem and made the egel. And therefore, we don't want to reference or sound out the name micha. And therefore, that's why we put a dagesh. Now, again, that raises an issue because you already do have mi chamocha at the beginning of the pasuk. Okay. And if yidmu ka'aven, he says, didn't have a dagesh, it would be yidmoch aven, you might read it. Which means that you're saying Hashem is compared to a rock. And that's not appropriate. And then he says that if there's no dagesh in the word amzu ga'alta, so then you might, it could, without a dagesh, it could, the word ga'alta could be a lashon of migu'al, which means covered instead of redeemed. And therefore, that's why these are exceptions to the rule, and they all get a dagesh. Now, that's on that's one level. The next level is the Medrash Seichel Tov, which we have over here in Parshas B'Shalach, and he writes something very interesting. He says, Kamocha Harishon Rafeh, Kamocha Sheni Nidgash. The first one is Rafeh, it's soft, there's no dagesh. And the second one is hard, it has a dagesh in it. Why? Ve'en lo alila hadgisha aladino laharafeh. It should be that it's rafeh, it's soft, not hard with the dagesh. V'fnei ma nidgash lo merlach betzchila hayu meshabchem besafa rafa. Originally, B'nai Yisrael praised Hashem a very weak, very soft way. And then, when Hashem really came and impressed them, and really they saw the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it became Degusha, became, they had a stronger praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's the level of Medrash to explain why. First, B'nai Yisrael's praise of Hashem was soft, and then it became stronger later on, and that's why it's first Rafah, and then it is Degusha when it comes to the signs. The next explanation is by Rav Moshe HaNachtan. Rav Moshe HaNachtan writes in the Darkei HaNikud VaHaNeginos, which is a book of all about diktuk and laning. So he says that, similar to what Myron was hinting to before, that in Lashon HaKodesh, it's not pleasant to read a word that has the same letter twice and only one syllable in between a double letter. Okay? You have a double letter, and in the middle there's one syllable. Okay? So he says, therefore, when you have a double letter, That when you have a double letter, you'll never find a double letter with a syllable in between. You'll never find that the double letter is both without a dagesh or both with a dagesh. It'll always alternate because it sounds better to have the double letter sound differently on one of the other ends. And therefore, he says that therefore one kaf is going to be dagusha or one gimel is going to be dagusha. And he says, one is going to be rafa and one is going to be dagusha. It's going to be alternate. It sounds better, he says, to alternate when you have double letters like that. And he says, what about the first micha mocha then? How come the first micha mocha, you have a double sounding letter of the chaf, so how come it doesn't have a dagesh? So he says that both chamochas, micha mocha ba'ilim Hashem, micha mocha ba'ilim kodesh, are considered twins to each other, and therefore they play off of each other, and it's okay that one is degusha and one doesn't have. That is his dictic explanation. The last explanation for the alternating dots is the Tzlusa d'Avram again, where he says, in the end of Rosh Yashir, he thinks the whole reason of the Orchas Chaim is very weak, as we pointed out, because the Orchas Chaim said, what about the first Micha Mocha? How come that doesn't follow the rule of being worried about referencing Micha who made the Avodah Zarah? So he says that the simple reason is that Shiras Hayam is a song and a poem. And when it comes to poetry, there are slight nuances that impact the sound and how things play out, and then impact the reading of the song. And therefore, this is a Shira. And in order that certain things sound better, and how you pause, and the nuances, and the cadence of the poetry, so there's exceptions to the rule. And a Shira is a place, and a poem is a place you're going to have an exception to the rule. Okay? And that's with the alternating dots in Az Yashir. Next, what about Mayim Adirim? There's a major, major discussion in the Rishonim regarding what, when we say that Saluka Oferes B'mayim Adirim in Tesvav Yod, that they drowned in the water like lead, so that the Torah says they're Adirim. What's Adirim? Are the Egyptians Adirim, the mighty ones drowned in the sea? Or is it that the Egyptians drowned in the Mayim Adirim, the water that is very powerful? And that will impact how the Baal Koreh will pause or slightly pause when reading that pasuk. That will make a very big deal. So how do we understand this? There's a machlokas in Chazal. The Gemara Menachos Nun Gimel Amud Aleph says clearly that it's the Mitzrim that are Adirim, because it says that the time of Kriyas Yansuf, that the Adir, the mighty one, took vengeance against the Adirim, the mighty Egyptians, for the Adirim, the Jewish people, in Adirim, in the mighty water. And therefore, the Gemara says, what's the proof that the Egyptians are called Adir, mighty? And he uses our pasuk, B'mayim Adirim, the mighty ones are thrown into the water. This is the understanding of the Milchilta Derashbi and also the Sforno, who say that it is the Egyptians that are Adir. And therefore, when you read the pasuk, it should be, Saluko Feres B'mayim Adirim, the mighty ones were drowned. On the other hand, the Mechilta de Rabbi Shmuel says that, no, the water that's Adirim, and this is the opinion of the Rashba, the Ibn Ezra, and Rashi in Sefer Shoftim Hei Chaf Hei, and it's also clearly found in Sefer Nehemiah that we read during davening. In Perek Tesud Aleph in Nehemiah, what does it say? V'yasod feyem ishtachta bim salos kmo even b'mayim azim. Nehemiah is describing the water as being Az, as being strong. Clearly, what's Nehemiah doing? He's playing off of Shiras Hayam. It's the water that's strong. It's not the Egyptians. And the Chok Nasan, which is a parish on the Gemara in the back of all the standard editions on Menachos, so he says that if the word Adirim was describing the Egyptians, then it should not be b'mayim adirim, it should be ba'mayim adirim. Because you need to qualify what is the water. What kind of water? Are we talking about the water? Then it makes sense, because it's the water, and the Egyptians drowned in the water. But since there's no hey hayadia, and it's b'mayim, it must mean that the word adirim is qualifying the water. That is b'mayim adirim. And the rules of dikduk clearly indicate that it's the water. But, lahalacha, it does not seem that way. Because the Shalmei Tzibor on page Ayin, it says that the Baal Koreh should pause between the word Mayim and Adirim, meaning that the Egyptians are strong and not the water. And the Be'er Heitev and Nenal Vav cites the Shalmei Tzibor, and this is the opinion of the Prima Gadim and the Shari Tshuva and the Mishnah Berurah Nun Aleph Yud Zayin, saying that it's the water that's strong and not the Egyptians. And therefore, even though all of the rules of diktuk and grammar would indicate that the Baal Koreh should stop or at least pause momentarily after the word mayim, and then after before mayim, and say that the mayim adirim, that the water is powerful, really, the halacha seems to be, according to the Mishnah Berurah and the Prima Gadim, that he should pause after mayim and highlight the word adirim, that the Egyptians are the ones who are mighty. Yes, but the rule is that a zakef is always stronger than a tipka. A zakef, if the word comes before, zakef is a stronger pause than a tipka, and therefore the rules of the laying would indicate also that according to the truck there should be a stronger pause there.
So kofer, and then mine will not shrug, and then I do it.
Little, but then that's so. Which one is it though?
I mean, to me, so kofer.
So what is the meaning of the pasuk then?
I just see the trap.
Okay.
The trap is made up by the
bottom. True. So, but the problem is the halakha, the poskim seems to be arguing with the Baal Masora. So you have a bit of a conflict. I don't know what the rules are when you have poskim versus Baal Masora. I'm not sure what the rules are. Sarachian. So those are pertinent halachos that seem to attend to the issues of reading Shir HaSayam, hopefully a deeper understanding of what's going on for the few moments that we're reading Shir HaSayam, by the Hasidim and by the Baal Machshava. They talk about that these parshios of Bo, Bishalach, Yisrael correspond to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, that there's a bechina of sorts on this Shabbos of an aspect of Pesach and Geula, and the next Shabbos by Yisro is an aspect of Kabbalah Satorah with Shavuos. So at least for this Shabbos, it should be a time of Geula and redemption and good things for the Jewish people.